All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Heading out to the Summer League to talk to our friend and our buddy that covers the Miami Heat on a daily basis, Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I decided not to sleep until Russell Westbrook makes his decision. Some people go on hunger strikes. I'm going on sleep strikes. I just keep hitting the refresh button on Twitter. Fellas, let's get this over with.
You know what? I love your dedication, and the Sun Sentinel should award you for that because you are really on this Russ watch like we are. We have talked in nauseam for days. I mean, it's ridiculous about scenarios and this, and maybe this is the reason why it's not happening, or they're waiting for this or waiting for that. The latest that Ira Winderman has heard on this situation is what?
That the Miami Heat may very well be the only bidder that the Oklahoma City Thunder have at the moment. And part of the delay can be, obviously, when you're bidding against no one, you can't raise the ante. And right now, they're basically staring down at Pat Riley and saying, this is not going to end well. They're trying to find another bidder. They're trying to find someone to jump into the game. And guys, isn't it remarkable how someone who, at the end of the season, we're talking about a walking triple-double as one of the elite players in the league, and all of a sudden, the size of the contract changes the entire perception of whether you want Russell Westbrook on your team, whether you want John Wall on your team, whether you want Chris Paul on your team. This really is an example of the salary cap impacting decisions more than the player's ability itself.
Yeah, Ira, we've seen and I've been a little surprised by the ability of the Heat to maneuver the roster this summer. If they take on Russell Westbrook, is there maneuverability 3-4 years down the line, or are they locked into this team most likely for the next 4 years?
You know what, Dave? I'll tell you this. We went out to dinner with a bunch of guys from the Heat and other people last night, and the one thing we've learned about the Heat, never make any generalities or assumptions about what happens to a Pat Riley roster. Because we were all sitting around talking about how, you know, I talked to you about this yesterday, Dave, how the Heat were going to be boring and they were going to be the same team and it was going to be James Johnson and Dion Waiters. And I think we were all resigned to that after last season ended, and boom, we're at least talking about Jimmy Butler this coming season, possibly, maybe even probably talking about Russell Westbrook. So when it comes to Pat Riley, it's like, again, guys, he went out and got a $32 million free agent without a single dollar to spend in cap space. So Dave, yes. In appearances, yes, you could say if they get Butler and Westbrook, they're locked in, they're tied up. But you know what? You also said that after those really bad James Johnson and Dion Waiters contracts, and all of a sudden we're talking a different team already. I tell everyone the same thing. If you have tax problems, call Andy Ellisberg. He makes all your financial problems disappear.
It is amazing when we talked about this team 3 weeks ago and the possibilities and scenarios going into next season and what they're going to look like, and now the opportunity to possibly get Russell Westbrook. It truly is amazing. Okay, so hypothetically, this trade goes down today, tomorrow, the next day, while you're in Vegas or not. The three guys involved, as we've seen rumored, Goran Dragic, maybe Myers Leonard, and Justice Winslow, and not one of their two, I guess, rising superstar studs that they think are going to be the young guys on this team. Where are the Heat now? With that said, trade made, those three guys now shipped off. Where are the Heat now in your eyes in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I mean, first of all, you're talking about that. You know, that's the supposition of the best case scenario.
Yes.
You know, for the Heat, they've mentioned that in this column today at the Sun Sentinel, that if you can get away with that. And Zach, here's what's important: you mentioned the matching salaries with Dragic and Leonard, and that's fine. You mentioned Justice Winslow, which I think is fine in this scenario for this reason. Justice Winslow is only good when he's on the ball. Well, if you can have Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook on your roster, Justice Winslow is never going to touch the ball unless there's an injury. So I think no matter what you think of him as a player, in this scenario is expendable. It's when you get into the Tyler Heroes and the Bam Adebayos and the youth you can sort of grow on the side, Derrick Jones Jr. and another, that's when you're really compromising more than the moment. But if you're asking me, if you're going with a lineup for argument's sake of something along the lines of Bam Adebayo at center, Kelly Olynyk at the four, Jimmy Butler at the three, Tyler Hero at the two, and Russell Westbrook at the one, I think it gives you a puncher's chance for top four and home court in the playoffs in the East, based on the fact Milwaukee's still really good, even though they lost Brogdon. Philadelphia, at least on paper, in adding Al Horford and keeping Tobias Harris, has the all-star talent if Embiid and Simmons put it together. They're an elite two. Then you sort of get into the suppositions of, well, yes, Boston lost Kyrie Irving, but Kemba Walker's pretty darn good. And Gordon Hayward is getting healthier. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are getting more mature. So I probably would have Boston in there. I like Brooklyn. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, it's a year away with Kevin Durant. Right now it's just Kyrie. But I like Spencer Dinwiddie. I like Harris LeVert. So I think you would probably be there with Indiana, with what's left of Toronto, sort of battling there to try to get maybe to the number four seed. So I guess what you're really saying is this: the Heat basically could be a one-round playoff team, long shot, two-round playoff team. They'll need to do more, and it'll have to come from the growth from within. Bam Adebayo will have to take major strides. Tyler Hero will have to turn his summer league, which has been awesome, into regular season play. Derrick Jones will have to grow. It came from without when you bring in Westbrook and Jimmy Butler, but it also has to come from within.
All right, I want to get to that awesome. There's a part of me that cringes at any summer league talk. In fact, in New York, right now, story is RJ Barrett isn't looking good, and people are extending that to, oh my God, is he a bust? So I don't want to go overboard with what Tyler Hero is doing. But I did watch the game the other day, and I was, oh, my God, it seems they have something. Talk about, you're in Vegas, you've seen, you've talked to people. Give us the Tyler Hero rundown at this point.
Well, first I go back to your first comment, Dave, about the Knicks and RJ Barrett and all that. Our waiter last night at dinner is from New York. He's a Knicks fan. He told us he bet the Knicks to win Summer League, which is sort of pathetic in its own.
It's Vegas, though.
I love that guy already. Yep.
The Knicks were installed as the Summer League favorite because everyone thought with R.J. Barrett and the youth they had coming in and Kevin Knox. So they've even found a way to embarrass themselves in the Summer League, which is hard to do. So you got that going on for the Knicks. You know what, Dave? I'll say this about Hero. Is that there's been no moment that's been too big for him. So he might be uneven in his play, but he believes he belongs. He has that cockiness that you need at this level. Now, if you're asking me, if he was drafted by a terrible team and he was going to be the leading man, in other words, if he was going to be the number one guy on the Knicks or Sacramento or someone, I think, yeah, he's going to get caught up and people are going to be double and triple teaming him and realizing he's that, like Zion, someone like that. But because he'll play probably, at least now, you could even argue off the bench, he'll still get to grow into his role. But he does multiple things well. I hate when teams just draft shooters. When the Pistons just drafted Luke Kennard, it turned into a bust. When the Suns just drafted Devin Booker, he turned into a far more complete player. So I'd say on the shooter specialist spectrum, where is Tyler Hero? Fortunately for the Heat, he's more toward Devin Booker than he is to Luke Kennard. So I don't think he'll be like James Jones or Wayne Ellington, the Heat shooting specialist who never gets on the floor. He can dribble. He can penetrate. He can make plays. He can rebound. You know, I call him, my nickname for him is Hoosiers. He just reminds me of the kind of player in that movie where he just does all the technical stuff so well. He just knows how to play basketball.
All right, so the Tyler Hero kind of the lore of him and everything about him in Vegas Summer Ball and the Sacramento games, too, have been amazing. What about Kendrick Nunn? I saw you write something in the Sun Sentinel, and I just saw you tweet it out a little bit ago. Another name that we had no idea about. Does this guy have any shot of making this team or being something on this Heat team?
You know, it seems like every summer, people go to me, why do you go to Summer League? What does Summer League mean? And the Heat find a guy. They find a Derrick Jones. They find a Duncan Robinson. I'm not saying that this guy is even going to be a rotation player. But you know what? And Dave knows this because I know when he wrote his column, he was trying to find the next draft choice that he can trade. Well, when you trade away all of your draft choices, you have to find your youth in other ways. The Heat have done a remarkable job. I mean, you could say, okay, no draft choice a year ago. But you know what? They kept saying Derrick Jones Jr. is our draft choice, and that's why they didn't want to trade him away when they made the Butler deal. I think right now that Kendrick Nunn could be that kind of player. And again, the subtle genius of the Heat, the final day of the season, they have just enough room under the luxury tax to literally sign a player to a one-day contract. But because they did that, he becomes their property for the summer. They develop him for 2 months in the gym with Yante Mayton, with Duncan Robinson, bring him out to summer league. When you don't have draft choices, when Dave and I every year in June rip the Heat because there's no pick this year, what's Pat Riley doing? The next unfettered pick that he can trade away that's not tied to anything, first-round pick is 2028. But you know what? If you find a guy like this every summer, you make up for it. If you can do it in scouting instead of doing it in the draft, one, it's a lot cheaper because you're not paying the rookie scale first-round rate, and two, then you can put your picks into play. So you might rip the Heat for constantly trading away their future, but this is another guy you could develop who's just as good as any player drafted in the 20s.
And that gets into my national media question about the Clippers trade for Paul George. And I mentioned this in the column today. I kept reading what a massive haul they got, what a historic haul of first-round picks, what a great trade it was for Oklahoma City. And I'm thinking the only lottery unprotected deal, they first-round pick they got was the Heats in 2023, I believe.
2021. Which will now be the second year of Jimmy Butler. And whether you think Jimmy's going to be a bust or not, whether you think he's going to age out on his contract, I think you should feel good about Jimmy in year two with the Heat. Because if you don't, then you're really screwed when he's, you know, getting year three and four and getting close to $40 million. So I agree. And Dave, the last example of that was the Celtics, when they traded Garnett and Pierce and did the deal with the Nets. Yes, they turned it into Tatum. They turned it into Jaylen Brown. They turned it into Rozier. But at some point, you can't pay them all when they come up for their extensions. So all of a sudden, Rozier is gone in that sign and trade with Kemba Walker. Jaylen Brown is a nice player. I don't know if he's the be-all, end-all. Jason Tatum is a nicer player. Maybe he's an all-star. So you're right. Your draft choices can really be illusory unless you get that ultimate top three or top four player. And even then, it's not always a sure thing. So a whole bunch of draft choices, what it does is this, Dave. It gives you more chances to be wrong and still get away with something. But at the end of the day, it's just as much guesswork as it is in free agency or anything else.
All right, stay on the West Coast for a second, and that Clipper team for a second. Kawhi signs a three-year, $103 million deal, player option for 21-22, and Paul George goes 4 years, $136. He's also got the player option for 21-22. Is this Clipper team going to be doomed that summer, or what do you think? Or is that just setting them both selves up for signing that massive supermax deal that they both can get? I think Kawhi would then be eligible for 4 years, $196, and Paul George, five for $254.
Yeah, but you know what, Dave? This goes back to what you said about the picks. If those guys both leave after 2 years, then those Clipper picks are going to be really, really good, including the years that Oklahoma City can do the pick swaps. So if the Clippers, are, let's say, get the number three lottery seed and the Thunder are better, they could swap into that. This shows you how you sell your soul in this game for a puncher's chance. I mean, let's look back. Let me ask you this, guys. After all the Raptors have been through in the last month, courting Kawhi, flying into Toronto, having Drake meet with him, and losing him. Don't you think they would do the DeMar DeRozan trade all over again anyway?
Mm. Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
For winning a title, yes, but now they're going to, you know, they're on the downswing of that for a whole country goes back to hockey.
My point being this, I think you just take your chance at a title. And I think what we've learned from the Heat in their four-year run in two championships is there are no enduring dynasties. What the Clippers bought was 2 years of definite hope, maybe 3 years on those contracts. Guys, that's all the Lakers bought with Anthony Davis because LeBron will age out soon enough. I think the teams like San Antonio, the way they churned from David Robinson to Tim Duncan and were a championship contender for a dozen straight years, I think that's over. I think every team literally specifies the window and says, okay, from 2019 to 2021, that's our window. I think that's how the NBA has changed. I think the dynastic teams, the Warriors are probably the last of them. And when Kevin Durant left, I think right now, the upside, the ultimate upside of the NBA is create a three-year window because players don't stay in the same place anymore. They force their ways out. They enjoy it while it's good. That's what the Clippers did. The Clippers said, we're going to buy these 3 years. The Lakers said, we're going to buy these 2 years. I think that's what you wind up doing. I don't think a team looks like Pat Riley. Dave, you know what he's talking about, the enduring champion and all that. We can have a run. I think even Pat Riley realizes that now also, that any rendition of the Heat he redoes, He's hoping for a 2-year window.
Okay, Ira, bottom line here, I got some planning of my schedule to do. Is this trade talk going to go on forever? You could see it happening quickly, or could we be – there's no reason this couldn't go on until
October, Hero's involved, right? We're talking 30 days, right?
And Dave, there's no reason that it shouldn't either, because the last time I checked, no teams are playing a game with meaning for until 3 months from now, sometime in October. So again, Tyler Hero can't be traded for 30 days. Myers Leonard, you cannot aggregate a player. That means include him with another player in an outgoing trade from 60 days of the day he's acquired. That was July 7th. So you're talking until October 7th. So you can play around. But guys, the reason I think it'll linger if it does is this. Can the Thunder create a market? What you want to do when you put a player up for auction is have other people in the bidding, not one guy sitting there in the auction room and you're realizing, well, you're kind of screwed because you're going to set the price and that's what it's going to be. They have to create a market for themselves. They have to find another team that's starting to feel desperation. Who knows? Maybe it's the collapsing summer league Knicks that they put some players up for grabs or do something like that. But more than anything, the Thunder have to create a market, because you know if Pat Riley knows he's the only bidder, he ain't pushing all his chips to the middle of the table.
It is a little sad when the Knicks have three guys that could be playing like real massive minutes during the season on that summer league team and they still can't win one, right? It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, they're even making waiters angry, so that tells you where they are right now.
The difficult thing in the Oklahoma City creating a market, though, is they need Russell Westbrook on board, too. And he's, why do I want to go to Detroit? Why do I want to go to Minnesota, right?
No, I'll tell you why, Dave. If you that whole you got to worry about that is when a player has an expiring contract. In other words, the Anthony Davis scenario last year. Remember Anthony Davis's father said if you trade him to Boston, he's going to leave after a year when he becomes a free agent. Russell Westbrook's under contract for 4 more years. This is more equivalent to the Blake Griffin contract. There is no way in heck that Blake Griffin wanted to go to Detroit, but he had so many years left on his deal, he had no leverage. What's Russell Westbrook? I'll put this to you guys. What's Russell Westbrook going to do? Is he going to sit out and not collect $30 million a year in his 30s? He has no leverage. This is what it comes down to, and I'm curious about this, and Dave, maybe you can give your thoughts. How much does a team owe a player for loyalty? Russell Westbrook, through thick and thin for 11 seasons, stayed when James Harden left, stayed when Serge Ibaka left, stayed when Kevin Durant left. Do the Thunder owe him anything? That is what I think it comes down to when Woj reports that Russell Westbrook would like to come to the Heat. Does that even matter? Will it affect Oklahoma City in the future? When, face it, no free agents go to Oklahoma City anyway. So, Dave, let me ask you this. From a columnist standpoint, do the Oklahoma City Thunder owe Russell Westbrook anything when it comes to getting him to a desired destination?
Well, you would hope they do right by him. And I think from a public standpoint, a company that relies on the public to buy tickets don't want to get into a spitting match with a guy who's their most high profile and best name for the last 11 years. Yeah. But let me ask this about contracts. Paul George signed a 5-year contract. Oklahoma City had no reason to trade him. And he worked his way, I want to go to the Clippers. With 4 years left on the contract, he went to the – so I'm not sure I agree with you that Russell Westbrook has no control over the situation here.
See, I think it's different, Dave, because Paul George didn't force his way out. Kawhi Leonard told the Clippers, the only way I sign is if you trade for Paul George. And so the Clippers made this unbelievable over-the-top offer where you might have traded any player in the NBA for 6 first-round picks, for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a great rookie prospect, and for Danilo Gallinari, who either you use for a year or flip his expiring contract. So that was more of Kawhi Leonard forcing the hand by saying, go in like no team has ever gone in with draft choices, including Brooklyn in that Garnett and Pierce deal. So I think that was a little bit different. That was with a plus one. Kawhi Leonard forced the Paul George trade, not Paul George, for the reasons I said. Paul George had absolutely no leverage. So with Russell Westbrook, if they do right by Russell Westbrook, are they doing right by their fans as far as getting the best possible product? For example, Blake Griffin is from Oklahoma. What if Blake Griffin's available from the Pistons? And now all of a sudden you can bring back a local attraction to your team and maybe a draft choice. You see, that's what I mean. Where is the obligation from Oklahoma City? Is it to do right by the 11-year veteran who's done right by them? Or is it to do right by their fans who've already bought season tickets for this year, next season, and seasons to come to give them the best product? That's what I'm curious about, how they're going to handle this whole thing.
All right, Ira, get back to that breakfast buffet. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm still finishing dinner. Thank you, guys.
See you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.